All right, if you see the screen there, you see some different colors, some different age hands. The elders and I have been talking for a while now, and we've kind of worked it in and out of some things, but we want to make a more concentrated effort on the idea of family for the rest of this year. We're going to tie it to lighthouses tonight. And still with the same thing in mind that we've been doing, it's kind of a head scratcher. It kind of makes me wonder sometimes what we're thinking. And we read through verse 13. We're actually going to pick up and address 15 through 16, or 14 through 16 as well. But a focus on the family, a focus on that relationship. So at different times this year, we're going to pick up different letters out of the word family. We're going to talk about the idea of a family being faithful to each other, forgiving, the idea of friendship that goes beyond relation, availability for each other, preference for one another. It's about you more so than about me. The fact that a family is accountable to each other. Motivation within the family. We're going to talk about the fact that sometimes family's messy. And it can be in the church because we bring our humanity into the family. The idea of modeling or exampling for each other. Some other things. Insulation. We're protection for each other. That we should be inseparable. Imperial. I'm going to focus pretty soon coming up on that term, royal priesthood. Ed and I were talking about that after our discussion of the priesthood. We are children of the King, and that means something about the way we carry ourselves. The love of a family, the lasting nature, the loyalty, the fact that it, young and old, that we should yearn to be in a family, and the idea that a family can be fun and can laugh. Yes, I was stretching for a Y word at that point. So notice it's yuck without the C. It's a reference to a laugh. So we're going to start today. We're going to start emphasizing that relationship today. And we're going to kind of touch on it this morning. And we're going to touch on it again this evening. And it's not going to be like a couple of things we've looked at recently. The head-scratching part of this is so simple. Today may be two of the simpler lessons that you have ever heard. But they're so key. Let's set the stage. Talking about family, talking about our interaction and our text. So you as a child of God, a member of Mount Carmel, you go to a ball game and you're acting a fool in the way that you are verbalizing towards another team, our own team, the officials of the game, the coaches of the game. Does it have anything to do with our family? You're on the beach, and maybe you're wearing something that Eve might have been wearing when Adam told God we were still naked when you came walking in the garden. And you're going to post it on Facebook or Instagram, or you're going to snap it or tweet it. Do others see it? You go to a movie and you walk out of the door of something that everybody knows is explicit. You come face to face with someone you know from the church or your community. You're with your friends and you personally, per se, young people, listen to me very carefully, may or may not be doing something that's wrong, but it's going on around you. And you're staying within that group. What are those who are watching thinking? Maybe you're just being funny. Maybe you're acting silly, and in certain environments, it would be completely okay. But if you're doing it where maybe there are others who do not know you're playing, and they're thinking she is this or he is that because of the silliness. Here we go. Please, and this is at the earliest stage you're able to understand what I'm saying, to the point where we've got one foot in the grave and one on a banana peel. It applies to every age of Christianity. Everything you do, everything I post, everything we say, everywhere we go, reflects on the church, because we identify as Christian. It reflects on the church worldwide and the idea of Christendom. It reflects on Mount Carmel. It reflects on this family, because people know us. They know who we are. They know what we claim. They know where we commune. That's true in physical life. You know, you got dad and mom, and I left you in black because I wanted you to make it very personal. So you can see that you as pink, or you can see that you as blue. By the way, notice there's not a third color or a third option. And so you got mom and dad, and then you're one of these children under that family umbrella. And Sally and Sebastian and Cranston. I tried to pick names that had nothing to do with anybody here. Or brothers and sisters of yours. You go through school, and maybe you act a fool all the way through school. Maybe you are the child that when teachers get together in the summer and the list comes out, they are praying your name is not on her list or his list. And so you go through the 12th grade with that reputation, and then poor little Cranston comes along and he ends up with some of the same teachers. Hey guys, teachers are human. Fair or not, it's really hard when that teacher sees your relations coming through class. It's really hard not to groan inwardly. Oh man, this is Sue's brother. Oh man, this is Pam's little sister. And they'll even say out loud, oh, you're so-and-so's brother. I got a cage in the back of the classroom for you. Kind of thing. Fair or not, when we get it out there in public and we act that way, it reflects on everybody else in our family. And teachers, by human nature, almost expect the next one to act the same way. You're standing around at the gym after a game. Maybe your body's on full display and your foul mouth is spouting. Don't believe for a minute that the person walking behind you doesn't think, I know his parents. I know her parents. It's reflecting back. Now, true in the physical world, let this sink in. You can go ahead and read it. This is family. This is a familial relationship that you carry with you everywhere you go, Parker. And everything you do, and everything you say, and everything you post, and everything you wear reflects on Johnny Hanna. It reflects on Mom and Pop, or Jackie and Beverly. Blood ties. A blood tie between each one of us that flows back to the head through Christ Jesus. And I don't want to be ugly, but I want you to understand that the blood tie that we have with each other through the blood of Christ and the blood tie that we have with Him through the blood of Christ is more important than our bloodline. Matthew 10 and verse 37, whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Now then, he's talking about a blood tie with him, but hang, stay with me. Back up just a couple of verses. Oh, I didn't come to bring peace. I'm about to divide father and son, mother and daughter, brother and sister. If Christ is calling on me to give up mom or dad or sis or Bubba or whatever for Him, am I not giving them up for the rest of the family too? Because the same blood that flows from Christ to me flows from me to Bob. It's the tie that binds. We even sing those words. Blessed be the tie that binds. He's the bridegroom. But He's also the big brother. Matthew 12, verse 50. Those who obey are my brothers and sisters. And so He's the elder brother in this relationship. Peter is told that this is the replacement family, if necessary. Now, some of us are blessed to have family that's family across two different blood types or bloodlines, physical and spiritual. But in Matthew 19, Peter's like, man, I gave up everything for you, Christ. And Jesus said, you know what? That's very possible. But if you gave up family, you got 100 times more. Family. Connection. And we are called to be devoted to one another. To prefer one another. To prefer those who are Christ's blood kin over others. Romans 12 and verse 10. We're called to love one another as He loved us. And pile all that together. I want you to think about this so that you make sure you get what I'm saying about not only does that blood flow this way, it flows this way and it's reflective. Did Jesus ever do anything to bring shame or dishonor or embarrassment or defilement on his brothers and sisters, us? No. And he's called us to the same love. Therefore, if we're going to claim to love each other, we're not going to do things that embarrass each other. We're not going to do things that reflect poorly on the church. How can I claim the love that he's called me to? I need you to love them like I have loved you. Sacrificial, all-out, giving love. How can I claim that devotion to Chester? How can I claim that I'm giving preference to Tony C? If I'm running around this world embarrassing not only Christ, but his family. I'm not devoted to Lloyd if I'm embarrassing him with my so-called Christian actions. I don't prefer Tony if I'm defiling him by defiling myself. When he put us together, he made it one body. Therefore, if I defile one part of the body, I'm defiling all of the body. What is it Paul said there in 1 Corinthians 5, just a little bit of leaven, leavens the whole loaf. So just a little bit of defilement in me, if I'm the piggy toe, defiles Austin and Allison. Now listen, I get it. I get it in a physical sense. Sometimes, no matter how much mom and dad try, no matter how much the family of God does, sometimes an individual goes rogue or a body part goes rogue. And at that point, it may not necessarily be fair that it reflects. But here's the thing, it still does. The synths on Mars in the series Picard on Paramount went rogue. Killed a whole bunch of people. And it reflected on every synthetic life form that had ever been created. And they were all deactivated. Was it fair? No. A couple got a bad bug. Still reflected. So, fair or not, my actions reflect on my whole family. My words reflect on my whole family. And yeah, again, let's be honest. I know sometimes we're not running amok. Sometimes we just make a mistake. Still reflects. Still need to weigh the actions and the words very carefully. And here's where I scratch my head. Maybe you can help me with it. How do we not get this? How do we not get that I present myself as a Christian in this world and Wade presents himself as a Christian in this world and then I act a fool? Everybody takes that idea, well, that's what a Christian is. That must be the way Wade is too. How does that not sink in with us? As sheep, everything we do reflects on our four shepherds. And it reflects on the shepherd. As body parts, it reflects on the head. And it reflects on the other body parts. You think about your physical body. When you trip, do you just blame it on your foot? Your foot's what tripped, but don't you blame it on your eyes for not paying attention, your brain for not thinking about what it's supposed to be doing. And so as I trip as a body part, it reflects on Preston. As a family, everything I say reflects on my father, reflects on my big brother, reflects on all the rest of my brothers and sisters. As soldiers, it reflects on our general and all our fellow soldiers. As living stones, it reflects on the chief cornerstone and all the other little stones. You're the one stone in the whole building that's growing moss or is unholy or is defiled. What's it look like to the stones next to you? As priests, it reflects on our high priest, our fellow priest. Eli, your children are making a mockery out of your priesthood. As citizens of the kingdom, it reflects on our king. And it reflects on the rest of our citizens. And if you don't believe me, just turn on the news. All we have to do is have one person in this nation say something. And suddenly the entire nation is pegged as that kind of people. Do I need to continue? You can go through every one of those images in Scripture and make the same point. Go to the text, please. Let's make one last emphasis. It's Matthew chapter 5. It is the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. It is the beginning of the foundation of everything Jesus is going to teach. And they are going to marvel when he gets through. They're blown away by the thought process. And if you've ever had any doubt about what the Sermon on the Mount is, it is Jesus stripping away everything that had been layered over the top of the pure, unadulterated law of God and saying, this is what God meant. This is the intention. This is the heart. And so he starts, and this is the first part that we were reading, Matthew 5, 1 through 12, with Beatitudes. And he says, if you want to be blessed, if you want to be holy and separate, if you want what comes with this difference, possess these characteristics. Be people of mercy. Be people of peace. Be people who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Live and conduct yourselves in a very specific way. Those characteristics roll right into verse 13. Where he talks about that if we possess them, we will be the salt that has value. We will be preserving agents. We will be difference makers. We will give flavor to our world. Now, and this is huge, there are couple of more verses before he changes subjects just a little bit. And starting in verse 14, they read, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Men do not light a lamp and put it under a peck measure. And if you're much younger than me, you have no idea what a peck measure is, or a bushel basket, or anything like that. It's the idea simply of covering it. They put it on the lampstand. It gives light to the whole house. Let your light shine before men so that they see your good works. Glorify your Father who is in heaven. All right, so characteristics, possess them. You're the salt that has value. Do not possess them. You're the salt that has no value. Then he goes just flat out, you are the light of the world. Now notice this. He doesn't give us an option of being light. You can be the light of the world if you want to. He said, you are the light of the world. He really doesn't give us an option of being a light that's covered because he says that's not the purpose of the light. He said the purpose of the light is to be the city on the hill. The purpose of the light is to be seen throughout the house, throughout the family, throughout the world. The light on the candlestick. Light for any other purpose is useless. You light the light and you close the closet door and you stand on the outside, it's not doing you any good. You put it under the bucket, it's not doing you any good. So, what is he saying? He is saying, watch how this flows, be the light on the hill or the light on the candlestick that glorifies the Father, and by association, the Son, and the body, and the family. Because the other option, well, that's not supposed to be his. And so the other option is, if I'm not a light on the hill that glorifies, I'm a light on the hill that reflects poorly. What's the opposite of glorify? Do you know the antonym? Dishonor. Shame. So he said you have two options. It's the only two options he gives us when he gets to 14, 15, and 16. You're either a light on the hill that brings glory to your Father, or you're a light on the hill that shames your Father. You're a light on a candlestick that glorifies the Son, or you are a light on a candlestick that dishonors the Son. You're a light on the hill and a light on a candlestick that brings glory to the family, or you're a light on a hill and a light on a candlestick that embarrasses the family. Everything we do, everything we say, everything we post, everything we wear, every attitude that we present to this world reflects in some way from the Father down. And if you're not living under a bushel basket where no one can see you, if you're not a hermit, you are shining some kind of light. And it's either one that looks like the source of light and can therefore bring glory to it, or it's a light that looks like the source of the enemy. And it'll destroy any influence that we have with this world. Your light always reflects on the church, on the family, on the body, on the Father. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. What we need to emphasize to our children is the how they let it shine. Because by their very nature, as children of God going out into this world, they're shining. They're shining on us as the parents and the grandparents. They're shining on the body. So yeah, it's a head scratcher to me. I don't know why some think they can act different at the ball game than they act in worship. They can dress different at the beach than they dress at school or at home or here. Or they can talk different I don't get it. I'm supposed to be, Ephesians chapter 5, the bride of Christ, without spot and without wrinkle, so that He can present me back to Himself, holy and blameless. That is an individual thing, and that is a collective thing. And if I, as an individual, sully that, soil that, the reflection is that I've soiled the whole bride. If you feel like there's something in there that you need to respond to be made holy for the first time through obedience to the gospel, or if you need to fix your relationship with the family, if you feel like your actions have reflected poorly on those around you, please come as we stand and sing.